where I will be this morning. Third John, God wants his church to be discerning, especially to whom they support and show hospitality. The very basic definition of hospitality is a friendly welcome and a kind or generous treatment offered to guests or strangers. Hopefully, from your study of God's Word, you have come to realize the importance of hospitality since you become a Christian. Perhaps you have already attempted to show hospitality to others, and maybe you were the recipient of some kind of hospitality, some kind of generous hospitality since you've been a believer, or even before you were a believer. If you were, I know how it made you feel. It probably made you feel very special and could have even encouraged you in some unique way. I remember a time in my own life, my family's life, when I experienced hospitality from a believer that I never met before. About 10 years ago, an associate of mine attending a large pastor's conference, during the announcement time, he heard that there was a man in Florida offering to full-time pastors and missionaries an opportunity to enjoy 2 weeks in beautiful Fort Lauderdale, Florida, for a low price of $150. Most people quickly concluded the information was either incorrect, a hoax, or something not even worth getting involved in. But Scott sat there listening, feeling battered by 10 years of very difficult ministry, and thought to himself, I, as well as my family, need some rest and relaxation to recover from the past 10 years. So when he returned home from the conference, he got the number and he made a phone call to a man named Hugh Hoffman. Hugh Hoffman answered, hello. Scott proceeded to tell him why he was calling and then asked, is it true? And Hugh said, yes. And added, if you stay for a full 14 days, you'll receive $75 back. It turned out that Hugh was a successful businessman, and he accepted a challenge 40 years or 50 years before that date, and from his pastor how to show hospitality to God's servants. So he decided, as a young man, to buy two very nice homes, which he never lived in, for the purpose of providing hospitality to full-time pastors and missionaries so they can rest from their labors. The homes were fully supplied, from air conditioning to TV to a whole slew of selected videos and DVD, Christian videos and DVDs, may I add, a stereo system, fresh towels, sheets, snorkeling equipment, and much more that you can enjoy in the house and along with the local attractions, and probably, for myself, the most beautiful beaches that I've ever laid my eyes upon in the world, in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Since then, Scott and his family have enjoyed Hugh's hospitality twice, and I and my family have used the houses now twice, or each house once, so twice together. Everything in the original announcement turned out to be true. In fact, you, a faithful and strong believer in Jesus Christ, is now in his late 80s and has ministered to pastors and missionaries in this way for almost 50 years. In each of his homes sits a notebook which contains letters of testimony and gratitude to use hospitality given from strangers who serve Jesus Christ around the whole globe. You made sure in his application process that only those who allied with the truth and were full-time missionaries and pastors and had a clear profession of faith can actually use his homes. this man has truly been an amazing example of hospitality to myself, others, and my family. And you can ask my wife and family, we thoroughly enjoyed his hospitality. That's rare. We hear a lot today about being allies. An ally means to unite or associate with someone for a common purpose. As we have already learned in 1 John, God's church cannot ally with just anyone. Those we ally with must pass at least three tests of truth, at least the ones we should ally with. And what I mean by that is embrace them, endorse them. And the three tests I've already mentioned in past messages, first is the moral test. This is the test to determine if a person is living in obedience to the truth. Secondly, it's the doctrinal test. The doctrinal test is their test of their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone who does not believe that Jesus is God, that he is the pre-existent Son of God who came in the flesh at a fixed point of real history, in real history, and died on the cross and rose from the dead bodily, cannot be a Christian. When one believes about what one believes about Jesus Christ, remember, is never optional, ever. You don't have a choice, A, B, or C. It's all of what the Bible says or nothing. Lastly, the social test is the test of love that involves believers' relationships with other Christians and with the Lord. Now, keep that in mind as we consider what this passage says before us this morning, because I'm pretty sure that you probably never heard a message on 3 John. And you may never hear a message on 3 John again, because some people just kind of blow through it and maybe miss the details. I don't want to do that, because the illustration I just gave you has everything to do with this passage. See, the church also has a responsibility to discern whom they should ally with and show support and hospitality to. Now, how could God's true church show hospitality to deceivers? We cannot and we should not. In 2 John, love and truth are inseparable in Christianity. Truth must always guide the exercise of love, and love must stand the test of truth. They go together. And based on this, the true church must show hospitality only to those who bring the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, look with me right here in 3 John. That's the last book before Jude and then Revelation in the back of your Bible. And we will see, right here, we will see what biblical hospitality looks like in the local church, and then the reasons to continue such hospitality. Now, here is what biblical hospitality looks like. 1 John, of course, there is only one chapter, but in verse number 5, it begins to lay out before us what it looks like. And there are three things that I want you to consider and then start working these things into your life as a believer. Because every one of us are called as believers to show hospitality. Well, here's the first thing to consider in verse 5. That biblical hospitality is faithful obedience to the truth. Remember, my last message ended with, in verse number 4, I have no greater joy than this, to hear my children walking in the truth, right? Well, now he's going to say, well, here's how to do it. Here's an example how to walk in truth. And so, biblical hospitality first starts with being faithful to be obedient to the truth. Look what it says in verse 5. Beloved, you are acting faithfully. Let me just stop there. Notice the term faith. It means to do a faithful thing. This is what those who walk in truth do. They are faithful in the work of getting the truth broadcasted. I don't mean getting the truth on a radio station. Broadcasted is an old word they used to use actually on the farms. When the person before they had seed spreaders, used to go out with a bag of seed and throw the seed, right? The throwing the seed meant broadcasting the seed, getting it out in 360-degree circle so it gets into the ground, so it gets onto good ground. And so walking in truth included people broadcasting the truth, those telling it, and then those who come behind them to help them tell it. So walking in truth includes being hospitable to traveling missionaries and preachers. It means here to put feet to words. In fact, in verse 5, if you notice, acting in this faithful way included the characteristic in verse number 5. It says this: you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren. Whatever you accomplish for the brethren includes, actually the word accomplish means to work and it means to work hard, actually. And it consists of the trouble you have to go through or the effort you have to put in to get the job done. That's what he means by the word to accomplish. You have to accomplish something for the brethren who are broadcasting the truth. That also means something else. It means not all of us are called to be traveling missionaries and preachers to broadcast the truth. Some have been called right here, right where you live, to broadcast the truth in your home and your family and amongst your neighbors and your coworkers. That's where you do it. You may not need as much help as somebody who leaves family, who leaves homes, who leaves geographical areas and goes somewhere to broadcast the truth. John the Apostle is sending missionaries, and Gaius, remember the man mentioned here in the last message, is receiving them. And so what happens, though, is Gaius is only acquainted superficially with these traveling preachers and missionaries. He doesn't really know them personally, but Gaius is receiving them based on John's recommendation. Now, that's sometimes a hard thing, to entertain people you don't really know and help them out when you really know them, but just based on the endorsement of someone else. Yet Gaius here in the Bible and the believers who were following his example gave every effort, the Bible says, to make sure that these traveling missionaries and preachers were provided for adequately. So that's the first thing that biblical hospitality includes. It includes just simply being faithful to obedience of the truth, being faithful to the truth and to those who take the truth. Secondly, it receives strangers who are brothers. And look what it says in verse number 5. It says, especially when they are strangers. Here's another characteristic of doing a faithful thing and meant accepting strangers. A stranger is a person from another region who usually is unacquainted with the local people, usually unacquainted with the customs, the cultural patterns, and sometimes even speaks a different language. Here, these strangers were being sent by the Apostle John because they were spreading the message of the gospel. Gaius was demonstrating a warm and ungrudging spirit of Christian love and fellowship toward them. Now, keep in mind that fellowship starts when we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and truth unites us in a common faith based on the proclamation concerning the historical Jesus, as 1 and 2 John have been telling us. Therefore, fellowship embraces the sense that we belong to the true and living God, and anyone who has believed and trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior also belongs to the true and living God, and therefore, if they receive the true gospel message, we can have fellowship with them. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ, though we may not know them well. And if they are taking the gospel to another place, they are worthy of our hard work on their behalf so they can continue to do the work. They are worthy of our support. And all of us have sometime or another met people that we really never been acquainted with before, and in a short period of time, you have a common bond with them for one reason, that you both have received the same Lord, Jesus Christ, right? You both believe in the same Word of God, even though they may even have it in a different language. It's still the same Word of God, translated from the Hebrew and the Greek manuscripts, and then brought into a language that you can understand. It's the same gospel. And so therefore, because of that, you have brothers, I have brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world, because we have the same Lord and the same Master who's given us the same Word, and we worship Him week in and week out. So we ought to receive God's true messengers, as the Gospel of Matthew informs us in the 10th chapter in verse 40. He who receives you receives me, and he receives him, the one who has sent me, receives both the Father and the Son. Now, so those are some of the things that true hospitality include. It includes being faithful, having a faithful obedience to the truth. It includes receiving strangers that are endorsed by those who do know them. And then thirdly, in verse number 6, it includes providing them with loving generosity. This is where we come in. Verse number 6, if you notice what it says, and they have testified to your love before the church, you will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. So God's church ought to be demonstrating loving generosity towards God's true messengers. Now, somebody who just names the name of Jesus does not mean they're a true messenger. You know that, right? They have to have those tests in their life, those tests that are very important in their life. So what happens here in this passage of Scripture is that we Christians know that God did not have He didn't have to do anything for us. He could have passed us by, and in doing so, He would have been perfectly just. But brethren, no one who has come to know the gracious God and Savior Jesus Christ by believing in His name can ever be exactly the same again when it comes to their love, when it comes to their generosity, when it comes to their stuff, when it comes to their possessions, when it comes to their money. Why? Because all that stuff is temporal, right? And you never deserved salvation, but God graciously gave it to you. And because of that, because God demonstrated loving generosity towards you, in turn, we show loving generosity towards people, even if we don't know them very well, but we know they're doing God's work because they were recommended by someone else as being authentic believers. So demonstrating loving generosity towards God's true spokesman incorporates several activities in verse number 6. The first part of it says, and they have testified to your love before the church. Now, it means this, that when you begin to show this kind of hospitality to people who come through past your doors and into your church and fellowship among you with the Word of God and then go off to take the Bible, the truth of the message somewhere else, you know what they do? If you show generous hospitality to them, they go to the place they're going next and they say, you know what? That those people at Calvary Baptist Church, man, when you go there, they roll out the red carpet. They treat you like a faithful servant of God. You're royalty when you're among them. Is that the way people ought to feel? Yes. That's exactly the way they ought to feel if they come into our midst. It says here that they will testify of your love. So see, when you realize what God has done for you in Jesus Christ, it's just not the same anymore for you. It's different for you. God has been generous with you, and so you want to be generous with them and with all who come your way who are broadcasting the truth. So it means several things, too. It could mean securing very practical ways, lodging for a missionary, Now, back then, it was a little bit different because there were no, you know, Ramada Inns and Holiday Inns and all kinds of things like this. But today, you can provide a room for a missionary by paying for a hotel room. Another thing, it says there in verse number 6, you can provide them with adequate provisions. And it says this in verse 6, you will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. That means simply this, that if you're going to reflect God's generosity, then you are going to supply them with food and with money and with clothing and with prayer and even with a traveling companion if that's possible. So generally helping them to travel as comfortably as possible to their next field of evangelism. See, the church is to send them on their way in a manner befitting those who faithfully serve the true and living God. In fact, John is doing something here, and I'm not going to get to that until next week. He is saying this, if you want to know what a good deed is, that's a good deed. Because you can either treat people in an evil way, or you can do a good deed to them. Look at verse number 11. I'm coming to that later on. But 3 John, verse 11, it says, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God, and the one who does evil has not seen God. And the reason why he puts that there is because the next individual we're going to look at has done an evil work towards missionaries coming through and preachers who were broadcasting the truth. All right, and we'll look at that next time. But if you're going to, showing hospitality, no matter what measure you do it in, no matter how you contribute, is a good deed that pleases God. So good deeds flow from truth. And when this brand of Holy Spirit-filled hospitality is expressed towards God's servants, when they reach the next place of ministry, they will have something to say about your love towards them. You know when people treat you well, you want to tell other people, right? You want to tell other people when you're treated well. And even when you know you don't deserve it and you're treated well, you want to tell people about that person. Like I told you about Hugh Hoffman this morning. See, they will have something to testify concerning your love. Verse number 6, And they have testified to your love before the church. They come before the church and they say, listen, I want to tell you the story about the place that I was just at and how these people ministered to me. And it could be today that because of providential circumstances that you cannot become a missionary or a preacher. But where you cannot go, your money and your prayers and your practical support can go. Right? Not everyone can be sent out to do this important work. But by supporting those who are doing it, you can make yourself an ally of the truth. It was a man named Barclay who said this, that the church needs those who will go out with the truth, but it also needs those who will be allies of the truth at home. It's like the military saying, when I was in there, that you hear all the time, we support the front with all that they need to carry on out their mission from the rear. That means the rear supplies the front, right? And they keep coming with supplies. Why? So they can take care of their mission. That's the same thing. We're in the rear, but we can supply for those who are doing the work in this way all over the place. Now, let me ask you something. Considering this passage of Scripture, what does hospitality look like in our church? Are we exemplifying hospitality as allies of the truth? Are there any who are testifying of your love before the church? Well, brethren, I have to use you as an example. By reading a recent letter dated October 13, 06, that I received from our missionary couple to Colombia. And this is what it reads, Calvary Baptist Church, our dear friends, you are the best. What royal treatment you gave us on this last visit to you. We praise God for your abundant grace and mercy, including us in the ministry and giving us a church like Calvary Baptist. Your very large gift, financial gift, came as a huge surprise and a blessing to us. You spent so much on the hotel, too. Thank you for spoiling us, dear friends. We greatly appreciate the homes open to us, wonderful fellowship and delicious meal by the Bobbies, the Bibbos, the Frews, the K's, the Knots, dot, dot, dot. Thank the Awana leaders for working us in, too. We walked away blessed by the interest in missions of these young kids. And thanks to Mr. Zepeda and the kids for a delicious and complete basket of Starbucks coffee from Colombia and those who were working that night as leaders in the Awana ministry. We thank them. Ken greatly enjoyed sharing the word with you. Pastor Bobby, thank you for giving us major time to share our hearts and burdens. We praise the Lord for your financial support these past 20 years. In much love, Ken and Carlene Newton. Now, I'm saying this. Is that testifying of your love and hospitality? Does a letter like this show we are an ally of the truth and welcoming those who go with the truth? Is not this a testimony of God's great love he displays through his people? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Again, I recently received a phone call from Pastor Tom Leek, who thanked me and asked if I could thank the church for faithfully supporting Hope Bible Church prayerfully and financially when he, by faith, went out to plant a church in the Maryland suburbs to preach the gospel there. That was 9 years ago. They have grown spiritually, organizationally, financially, and numerically. I just preached there about a month ago, and they're at the point they're going to buy a building and plant a church. Of course, they planted a church already, but now have an address. They've been working out of a school building this whole time. See, is that not testimony of our love? Does not this show that we are allies of the truth and hospitable to those who go with the truth as church planters? See, yes, it is. That's exactly what we're supposed to be doing, this passage of Scripture says. We're doing a good deed, and we're pleasing God by doing it. I can speak of Steve Plodnick, who when we prayed a year ago concerning South Africa, and supporting him prayerfully and financially, and to train national pastors there in South Africa so they can fill the churches with gospel-preaching pastors there and then work themselves out of a job. He went there more than a year ago. Now he is doing quite well. We helped him do that. We came behind him to do that. Calvary, I want to commend you for doing a faithful thing. Many times you're here getting chewed out. This morning, I don't want to chew you out. I want to commend you. I want to commend all those who contribute in any way to financially, prayerfully, to missions, both locally and abroad, because we are doing exactly what God wants us to do. We must continue, though, as allies of the truth, to be faithful and generous to missionaries and preachers sent out to bring the life-giving gospel of Jesus Christ to those who've never heard it yet. We can't stop now. We must continue to keep a watchful eye concerning whom we support and show hospitality. This brings me to my next point. I just showed you what hospitality looked like in 1 John, what it looks like in our church. Now, this is the reasons why we should continue to show hospitality. Look at verse number 7 of 3 John. There are three reasons to send and assist missionaries and preachers who go out with the gospel. Here's the first reason, verse 7. They engage in the work, notice what it says in verse 7, for his name. It is always for the sake of the name. The name, for they went out for the sake of the name. You see that in verse number 7? They went out for the sake of the name. Another passage of Scripture in the book of Acts links the name Jesus Christ. It says this in Acts 15:26, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. They risk their lives for the name. Often missionaries and preachers leave their roles in life and give themselves to the work of God. So in a sense, these are a special breed of believers because they take the full revelation of Jesus Christ to those who have never heard it. But I want you to notice what they take. It's really not about them. It's about what they're doing. It's about what they're taking. They're taking the message about Jesus Christ. They're taking the message about who he really was and who he really is and what he really has done. That's what they're taking. And they're taking the scriptures to people who have never heard it. See, it is always first and foremost about the name. Because it is only by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ people are saved, right? See, the word of God is clear and emphatic concerning the centrality and the exclusivity of preaching the name Jesus Christ. We just got to go to the book of Acts where the church starts, and it says in Acts 2:21, and it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And of course, that famous passage of scripture on our backboard out there as you walk out by the tracks, Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. See, brethren, we must never deviate from this truth and always remember this. Everything else that we take out there is always secondary. What I mean by that is this. Feeding the poor is important. Buildings are important. Mercy projects are important. Medical assistance on the field is important. Humanitarian efforts is very important. But if these things replace or push out taking the name of Jesus Christ to people, we're doing nothing. And there's a lot of people in the world who are involved with humanitarian issues that are feeding people, educating people, and all those things are good. But you're educating and feeding people and making them more comfortable to slide into hell. If we don't give them the gospel, Jesus Christ, and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ along with feeding them, along with bringing them medical assistance and providing them education and humanitarian efforts, if we don't have both going on, then see what happens, brethren. We are not doing what the Lord has asked us to do. And so all those things are good. These things are important and should be part of missions, but never at the expense of the exclusion of preaching the name of Jesus Christ and his saving gospel. Because I tell you what, I'd rather somebody slip into hell hungry, slip into heaven hungry, than somebody slip into hell with all the accoutrements the world can give them to make them comfortable and healthy, wealthy, and fine, right? Than somebody who is hungry and goes to heaven and knows why they're there. Brethren, this is the message. And yet, the church has deviated. They have given it up. It is a lot easier to do humanitarian things than preach the gospel. You know why? Because Satan doesn't impose humanitarian things. He opposes the gospel. So see, one is a lot simpler. Both are needed. But the gospel is paramount. Right? It's paramount. We can't do other than that. So that's the first reason why we have to continue hospitality. Continue making sure that preachers and missionaries who preach and teach the truth, the gospel, are out there, and all their needs are supplied to keep them there till the job's done. That's what we ought to be doing as the church. If you notice, secondly, here's a second reason why we ought as a church to continue hospitality to those who are preaching and teaching the word of God. Verse number 7 says this, and they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. You see that? That means this, they received no support from the world. You see, it's not just somebody writing a check for $1 million that's going to get the gospel out. That's not God's plan. Now, if somebody is in the church who is wealthy and is responsible for their wealth, and they're going to write big checks to get the gospel out, that's fine. But God doesn't intend us to go to the world and get money for the work of God. You know where he intends to get the money from and to get the support from? You. Because you know what? The body of Christ, united and unified together for this purpose, we will supply all the needs necessary for the missionaries God allows to bring our way to keep them on the field and help them on the field. See, they support these people. These missionaries have decided to receive no help from unbelievers, accepting nothing from the Gentiles, nothing from the world. They purpose to step out in faith and trust the Lord and his church to supply their needs. That is faith. And the church ought to understand and continue to teach that missionaries and preachers should be primarily funded by the local churches, right? And the local churches alone. We, the church, are given the mandate to sustain and show kindness only to those who bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's another reason why we ought to continue to show hospitality in this way, because they are not to take support from the world. They're to get it from us. And then lastly, the final reason we send and assist missionaries and preachers who go out with the gospel is this, in verse number 8. It says, therefore, we ought to support such men so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. Wait a minute here. This brings us into the equation. This brings you into it. It keeps us connected and engaged. In other words, it is the way we become co-laborers for the truth. That means the people that Ken Newton and Carly Newton influenced for 40 years in Columbia, who taught the Word of God, who led to Christ, were part of that work. You understand that? And because we're part of that work, we have done a good work and we have pleased God. And for all the missionaries, it goes the same way. It connects us. It says that we become fellow workers with the truth. Assist them so we continue to be joint workers. The job can't be done by one or just a few. All of us can assist in some way to review these reasons. Reminds us to continue to demonstrate such hospitality. But some of you, I must say, maybe you're just a brand new believer and you haven't realized your duty in this area. What we usually do in our church is during missions month, we have a middle spot on our, one of the spots on our giving envelopes where you give towards missions, a certain amount towards missions, and to support them. I don't know if you have looked at yourself and decided to do any of those things, but today you may need to look at what the scripture is saying here and become an ally of the truth and be ready to show hospitality, both not only financially, but opening up your home, giving what you have to those who are going to need it to get the work done. There are many different ways we can engage in this important work. Let me just explore some possibilities before I close. Sunday school teachers can adopt a missionary. They can send email to them, provide letters to them. They can study their land that they're working in and show the opposition to their evangelistic work. And they continue to pray for them that God would give that particular missionary an open door to preach the gospel. They could supply some needs spiritually and physically. They can pray for the maturity of their new converts and the continued sanctification of all their believers. They can get that book, Operation World, by P.J. Johnstone. I think it's Johnstone, who tells us about all the countries in the world. And it tells us about what their gross national product is, what their spiritual condition is, what are the spiritual opposition to the evangelistic work of believers, and then pray intelligently about those countries. Parents could also encourage their children by having missionaries in your home. I thank the Lord, through the years, the Lord has allowed me to have many missionaries around our table. Our kids heard a lot of conversations from missionaries in other parts of the world, and I know that has had an influence and impact on them. Have missionaries in your home. Also, you may want to provide a prophet's chamber. Somebody has the ability to have another room, an extra room for missionaries and preachers, to have them there to provide their needs. Some people are cooks. Bring out the best dishes. Bring out your best recipes and cook for them. Roll out the red carpet for them. Express to them your appreciation of the work they're doing. And when you do that, you actually become a co-laborer with them. You're a co-worker with them. Plan a missionary trip in lieu of a vacation. I just got an email from Steve Plodnick in South Africa. He says, come out and visit him. Of course, you know, that's going to take some planning. You just don't get a ticket to South Africa and go. There's some things you have to do. Right? Some countries, you have to have a whole list of things to do before you can even enter the country. Shots. Some people need passports and visas. Some just passports. So there's a lot of things, but why not? Life is short, right? Go over there and see what they're doing. I mean, if you could do that, you're going to spend all that money on a vacation, do that. Put it somewhere else and see. Then you can come back, tell us about it. You can come back and share your experience. It'll change your life, I guarantee, if you do that. Go on a short-term mission stint. Jamie Winship has offered all the time to go out there to Jordan. And have us visit him. I like to take him up on that one of these days. Mission moment, you know, we do on Wednesday night. Be here to pray for missionaries when Eric Frew brings forth those facts about what to pray for. Having a mission board where we have our missionaries in their letters and keep people informed about that. Somebody has to do that, want to do that, and keep people informed about it. Also, regular financial and prayer support on behalf of all our missionary family. We have several, the Giglios in Cuba. We have the Shortmeyers in Papua New Guinea. We have Frank Pass. They were in Siberia, but they're back home now. We have schools that we support, students who are being prepared for the ministry. Man, students have all kinds of needs. They need furniture. They need books. They need tuition. They need cars. They need all kinds of things, especially if they go and take courses in a very expensive place in the United States. Cal and Mary Ritchie in England, they were there for over 30 years. Now they're retired. We're not going to drop them because they're retired. But they're still doing the work there where they live in North Carolina now. I mentioned the Newtons. I mentioned the Plodnicks. I mentioned the Winships. So acting on these biblical truths has desirable results because our hospitality, no matter how large or small, makes you and I joint workers with those who go out with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we together become co-laborers. That's exciting, because that's what the Bible says we become. That's not what I say you become. God says this is how he planned it. Not everybody can go. Some can go. Those who can't go, you stay in the back and you make sure the ones who go have everything they need. And then we're co-laborers. We're getting the truth out. We're not there actually preaching it, but we're making sure everything is there that they need. See, this behavior is pleasing to God and joins us to the many works God is doing throughout the world. That's what it does. So I'd like to encourage you to keep doing what you are doing while you investigate new avenues to provide care and support to those who proclaim the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you'd like to be involved in some way, even some creative, innovative way that I haven't heard of, let me know so we can do something in that area. But we're always going to have needs in this area. We're always getting requests back from missionaries about them needing things. For example, Steve Plodnick just wrote me and said that he finally got into a house in South Africa. He says that they live in on a nice block, but the crime in South Africa is very, very high. He says that most people have fences and guard dogs. He means dogs that your kids can't play with. They have a fence, a guard dog in the house, another fence in the house, because people, he says that he was there for just a couple weeks. He sets all his books up. He puts his computer up. He goes out. He comes back. All his books, his computer is gone. He didn't have a dog yet. But, see, we take safety for granted. right there in certain places. Most places in the world are not as safe as the United States. He says that when you call the police, they don't even come. They don't even come. So see, the thing is that we live in a different world here. We're secluded from most of what's going on in the world. When we cry, we don't, you know, something little happens to us, we're crying, right? Well, that for most people, they don't even think about stuff that we're concerned about because they're thinking about larger things, you know? They're thinking about when they're walking down the block, they make it from point A to point B without being shot, you know? So, see, the prayer is so vital in the church to pray even for the safety of our missionaries and just to be engaged with them so we know what's going on. And then when they come back and you say to them, you know what? I never met you, but I know you because I've been praying for you and I've been praying for your needs and I've been reading your letters and I've been engaged in what you're doing over there. That, you know how that encourages them? Wow, somebody's praying for me. Somebody's behind me. When you feel many times very alone in a foreign country. So, brethren, keep doing it. Been doing a lot of good work in this area. Let's continue to do it. And let's not give up at this particular point. And at this time, let's pray. Lord, thank you again for this encouraging passages of Scripture that's found tucked away here in 3 John. Lord, we want to be allies of the truth. We want to enter into the labors of those who are doing your work. We want to be co-laborers. So, Lord, bring to our mind and our attention those who you're going to bring our way and that we're going to support. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would have not only know that we're doing a good deed and we're pleasing you, but we are going to have the sense that we are part of the work, even though we're not there physically, we're a part of the work that you're doing in the world. And so, Lord, bless us and continue to advance us in this area and do it for the sake that your great name would be proclaimed, and we would be part of that. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.